This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene. Amy, you caused some controversy online last night.
I didn't mean to, but I do believe in, even if you have an opinion that's not the most popular opinion, but what's right to you, I believe in standing up for what's right to you. And that's what I did. And I definitely got some pushback for it, but I'm okay with that because I believe in being the voice for the people who want to say something but are afraid to. I believe if you have the means to come out and stand for something, you should.
Yeah. And I think you've always said that. I mean, about patients and hygienists, like you have always said that that's like who you are as a content creator. I also think that we're entitled to have our own feelings about situations. I don't want to all have to agree on the situation, right? Like you could think it's wrong and I could think it's right, right? But I also think there was this dentist, this like young dentist, I don't know her handle, but she has like an accent and she's like tiny. She looks young, right? And she had posted a reel about hygienists and she got so much pushback that then she went online and then she was crying about like the pushback that she got from this reel. Now, I don't think this reel was like the best. I don't think it was the worst. I definitely think that what this dentist posted is worse than what she posted. Yet she got way more pushback, I think, because she's a woman. Like, I think that we give sometimes men a little bit more grace. And we are so hard on each other. I wish we would hold each other to the same like standard. And I don't agree with the female dentist either, because here's the thing. If you're going to choose to post something online, and if you're posting controversial things, you're likely posting it because you want those comments, because you want that engagement, because you want to grow. You know, you're putting a little fire in there for a reason. Now, maybe that response wasn't the response that she was expecting, but she's got to own up to it too, right? But I think the same thing for him. At least she owned up to like, that's not what her intent was. He's not backing down, right? Like he's steadfast on what he thinks, and that is, he's just making fun of a fictional hygienist. It's funny because I posted a reel also yesterday, not specifically about him, but about things that you and I have talked about, three of us have talked about over the past year, and how I really dislike sexualizing the profession. And we talked about this, about content creators that you like and I don't like because of sexualizing. And then I also don't really like negative content online. I don't like when we're talking mess about dentists, and I don't like when dentists talk mess about hygienists. Right. Like, and the thing is that if we want respect, then we should also give that respect. And sometimes I'll see creators who are like rolling their eyes because a dentist did something. And I'm like, they see that. And they're already not happy with us. I don't see how that's like conducive of building this team. And I think we are a team.
I feel like people put so much online, and not even just with the reels or videos they create, but even like on Facebook, when you go to the group forums, like sometimes it just gets too much, all the negativity on there. And it is just pinning dentists and hygienists together. And it's bringing all these negative stereotypes out and just magnifying them and bring that negative energy into the workplace, which is, it's not what it's supposed to be at all. We're supposed to be a collaborative team. And I know at dental hygiene school, they try to instill that with like the dentist and the dental hygienist working together way back. But with all this negative going on online or on Facebook or Instagram, it's not helping at all, you know? And I think we definitely like following the content mm-hmm. creators that see things more in a positive light, helping us work together, because that's how it should be. We have different professions. Yes, we're both in dentistry, but one's preventative and one is proactive for treatment. So both benefit the patient, and that's what the concentration should be, our patient care together.
So after I posted that video yesterday, a hygienist sent me a message like, are you talking about that doctor, about the doctor that you then later on posted about? And I was like, well, I mean, if the shoe fits, like, and you know, it's funny. She's like, she had engaged with the video. And, you know, I was like, it wasn't necessarily specifically about him, but it was so many like that situation. There was a video I saw this week of a guy who was at the dentist. He was talking to his family and he was laughing about the fact that he sucked on his dentist's fingers.
Gross.
Yeah, and he thought that was funny. He's like, well, her hands were in my mouth. I don't want to normalize that kind of behavior either. That is inappropriate. There's these videos of like sexual innuendos. And I'm not talking about like dental hygienists wearing tight scrubs. That's not what I'm talking about. Because I also saw a Facebook post this week where these hygienists posted a picture of, I don't know if she was a hygienist or not, a picture of a girl with tight scrub pants. And the caption was, is wearing painted on scrubs now like the trend? I don't think that look, I personally don't look good in figs because I'm like a thicker girl. Do I still wear them? I still wear them. I can't wear them as tight as other girls do. But if I had that body, best believe, I would be wearing them that way. I don't think that that's like a sexualized thing. I don't think that, you know, wearing a bathing suit online is a sexualized thing. It's other things. It is. There was one where they were using a Cavi wipe to stroke the suction.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, see, hygienists are good partners or wives or something like that. And I'm like, I don't want my patients coming in to see me to get their care. And they're thinking about me in that kind of way. Like, that's, I'm here to work. I'm a healthcare provider, professional. Can we just treat each other with respect, you know?
And is it because dental hygienists are mainly female dominated that these scenarios come up?
Yeah.
That they think it's okay, which it's not at all.
Do you think that the dentist would have created the same video, but about female dentists? Would he have gotten the same like approval from people?
You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I actually reached out to him before I posted my reel last night. And I just wanted to give him the opportunity to kind of clear the air and just hear him out and like give him the benefit of the doubt. And I said, you know, I believe it wasn't perhaps your intent, but this is how your message is being, you know, taken across many dental hygienist point of views. And I just said it was very derogatory and I felt insulted and like, you know, a little bit attacked that, you know, for him to be bending over in a thong that says floss, B-I-T-C-H. Like, I just, an OnlyFans, we make enough money. Like, I felt like that was a shot on so many different levels that like.
And OnlyFans, I'm just waiting for me to get OnlyFans. Like, seriously? Back to the point, why couldn't it have been him been a dentist in on Mari then? Why did it have to be a hygienist on Mari?
And I feel like that's kind of, I know someone commented that and I stand with that because she said, if you're poking fun at yourself, that's one thing, but you don't attack someone else's, especially someone who reports to you. Mm-hmm. You don't attack that role. Like, that's not okay. And he said to me, because I had said the same thing to him, I was like, would you ever talk this way about another dentist? And he just sent back a completely sarcastic comment, like, maybe that one will be next. But like, no part of his response was there any remorse for anything of what he said or the way it was being taken, or there was no apology. And that's when I was just like, all right, these are your true colors, dude. Like, here, lay in your bed.
I'm going to read you some comments that I received last night. This person said, I have never expected to experience sexual harassment from patients as an RDH, but it's most definitely has happened in my 2 short years of practicing. So thank you for saying this. And so I had another person comment something similar. I have been sexually harassed by not only patients, but at least 2 dentists. One dentist told me if I reported him, I'd never work as a dental professional in the state again. Sexualizing colleagues, no matter their sex, is unprofessional, period.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So this, so like what's frustrating to me sometimes is that people are like, that's never happened to me, so it's not a reality. But it does happen. And just because it doesn't happen to you does not make it real. It doesn't make it mean that it's nothing that doesn't happen. You know, I've told the story before about my friend when we were 19, where the dentist cornered her and told her he loved her.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And like in that, and like then we were like, haha, it's funny, but it's not funny. She is a child. She's literally just turned 19. We're like 18, 19. He's close to 40 years old. They're in the practice alone and he's cornering her, telling her that he is like interest her in a sexual manner. Right. Like calling her, drunk calling her in the middle of the night.
What?
Yeah. Like, come on. Like these things.
And the first comment you read where she's like, I never thought this profession would include sexual harassment. Same, same. And it shouldn't. Yeah, no healthcare profession should. That's wild that we have to deal with this.
I told you, I don't know if I told the story, but when I first became a dental hygienist, I was posting my resume all over and I posted it on Craigslist. This was before we had like a whole bunch of platforms. And I received an email from a patient, not my patient, but just like a person who said he would like me to be his hygienist because he remembers as a young boy how his hygienist would place her boobs in his face how that would like arouse. That's a reminder to not put things on Craigslist. But back then there was like jobs on Craigslist. We deserve to go to work and have safe environments and not to be thought of in this manner.
That's not why we became hygienists. We became hygienists to provide care, to be a healthcare professional.
And I'll say, like, I love dental hygiene. I think primarily because part of it is because it's women, majority women, right? I do tend to feel more comfortable around women. I don't think that means, you know, I was looking last night, what is the percentage of male to females? Because somebody commented on my post and said that basically she thought because the majority of dentists are men, that makes it like a power imbalance. I looked after she had commented like how she thought it was maybe the problem was maybe because majority of dentists are men. So Dr. Bicuspid said that there are 99,000 male dentists and 44,000 female dentists in the U.S. And I think that is a huge, it is a huge problem, but I think it is a different issue than what this is. I don't think that just because I've worked with some really great dentists, both male and female, and I work with some really bad dentists, both male and female. So I don't think it's necessarily that's my issue. You know, a lot of dentists are males. It's the fact that we are putting these ideas out to our patients because it's not just dental professionals seeing your reels and your videos. It's the community. And then you're normalizing seeing and treating your team member this way. And I feel like it's disrespectful. Like it makes me feel like you don't value me as a professional. And like, that's an issue to me.
That was a lot of my problem with it too. Just even taking away the sexual side of it.
Yeah.
It was just talking with like the profanity appeared as a hygienist that was just extremely uneducated.
Yeah.
When our program is extremely rigorous, like and we've talked about it in previous episodes, I went into it with a 4.0. I had O-Chem, Chem, Bio, AP, and 1 and 2. I never got a grade below a 93, and I'm very proud of that. I struggled so hard in the dental hygiene program. Like, and it's not that I'm not capable, but it was so challenging, and it's not something that everyone can do. So we fight for that education. That program is really, really, really tough. And I don't know. I just feel when I saw that video that it was just completely devaluing the profession. Mm-hmm. It started off, I wanted to be there for it. Like I was like, oh, maybe it's funny. And then the more I watched it, the more I was just in awe of what I was watching.
It's not even necessarily a dentist against hygienist thing. For me right now, the issue is also the fact that we as hygienists sometimes also post online and not portray us in the most professional matter either. Like if you're a content creator, dental hygiene content creator, then I feel like you do have a responsibility to represent us in a way that is professional. You can be funny. Right? Like everybody follows Andy RDH, not Andy Jerry. RDH. We all follow Jerry RDH, right? And he's hilarious. Some of the things for me, I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit of a prude though. So like, but he's funny. Like you can be funny and still be respectful. Like recently he posted something about a kid, right? And like forcing a kid into treatment. And I was like, okay, Jerry. You can be funny and still have like some serious takes on things and still, you know.
We also talked about before, like we don't respect content that make fun of patients.
Oh, yeah.
And patient care. And I know like a big one that me and we've gone back and forth on is about petechiae or conversations mm-hmm. about seeing petechiae in patients' mouth. And like this always, always comes up around Valentine's Day. You always see posts on Facebook or Instagram about it. And it's, I don't find it funny because even if it's for a child, of course, right? Not funny at all. That needs to be reported. And then for adults, it's not always consensual, mm-hmm. you know? So that it shouldn't be taken lightly either just because you see it in an adult.
Our friend Esme, she's a dental hygiene school director. She commented something like that. So she said, I also super hate all of the stupid posts around Valentine's Day about palatal petechiae. It's there because of consensual sexual relations. It's none of your business.
Yeah.
More importantly, it can be a sign of abuse and married women are often victims of abuse within their own marriages. I can't stand the judgment and I can't stand the jokes. Professionals are laughing at potential signs of abuse, but also what we don't consider is our elderly. If you saw that in an elderly person who maybe has dementia, they obviously can't consent. If you saw it in an elderly person who, you know, are under the care of a caregiver and their partner has passed away, there's that power struggle, then that's also a sign of abuse. These are, you know, serious things. And we're freaking adults, are we not? Like, are we not adults that we can see something? Because like, honestly, when I go to the doctor, and my husband and I have talked about this, because, you know, obviously we're going through fertility and we go to the doctor a ton and I get transvaginal ultrasounds a ton. And my husband's like, do you think that they know? And I'm like, does it matter? Yeah, right? Because, you know, like, I hope that my doctor would, you know, if they saw some signs of something, would understand it's like a normal thing that couples do. And it's not something to like that I should be embarrassed about, you know, or like, I don't want to have to think that I have to be embarrassed of going to see my gynecologist, my fertility doctor, because I was intimate with my husband. These are not things that your patients should have to think about. And so same thing for our patients when they come to us. They should not think that they're going to be judged because of depression and they just can't get around to brushing right now. Or because maybe they had a sexual encounter. None of our business. Like, seriously, none of our business. They just don't have the means to access at the same products that you and I have access to. Or maybe they're just so overwhelmed and stressed and busy with life and their kids and parents and don't have the energy to take care of themselves.
And I know we talked about like the extreme on sexual abuse, but Amy, you talked about earlier, even as well, having these videos making fun of patients' breasts. You know, like, yeah. I just think of myself as a patient, like I wouldn't respect that provider, honestly, if they went around teasing and making fun of their patients, because what you should actually be doing is finding why they have halitosis. You know, is it a gut issue? Is it their oral micro? You know, like, what is it? Yeah, instead of making fun of it on the internet. Like, that's not cool.
My mind always goes to the person who has like dental anxiety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they come across that reel of making fun of someone with bad breath and they're like, well, this is why I haven't been to the dentist in 5 years, you know, and then it's just going to get prolonged. And people watch things a lot of times that scare them. Like, I don't know if anyone knows this, but I have this like huge fear of outer space.
Oh.
I hate outer space. I hate the thought of like, we're just on a ball floating in the middle of nowhere. And like, we're just like relying on gravity and physics to like keep us. Like, I just like the ambiguity of outer space just freaks me out. When I'm scrolling on the internet, if I see something about outer space, I'll watch it. Because the more I know, the more I feel like I'm conquering that fear little by little. I can't help but think of someone who hates the dentist, when they're scrolling and they see a dental professional, they're probably going to watch it. They're going to try to make a connection, to try to conquer that fear, to learn more about what's scaring them. So if you're the one they watch happens to be someone making fun of someone for not having teeth, or making fun of someone for having bad breath, or, you know, a bruise on the palate, then it's just igniting that fear even more. I don't see it.
And sometimes people don't even know. Like, y'all know the story. I didn't go to the dentist until I was 18. And I didn't learn how to like truly floss until I was in hygiene school. And so I've had a lot of dental work. And I've seen posts online from dental hygienists who their dentists have shamed them for the amount of dental work that they have and the problems that they have. And they feel so like guilty because they're like, well, I got into this profession because, you know, I had these problems and I wanted to like help other people, and now people are judging me because my teeth aren't perfect. Those things aren't, they're not fair. Question for you, Amy, though, like, side quest, I didn't know you had a fear of outer space. I saw this TikTok and there was a question. I'm gonna ask you the question. So if you were on one of those, like a spaceship, okay, and they put you, you were like one on the little side ones and it got disconnected from the mothership, would you stick around and wait to see if, like, I don't know, you'd be saved? Or would you be the person who would just like open the gates right away and like end it?
I would pass out.
She wouldn't even make it that far.
During launch. I've thought about it before. I've thought about launching on a space shuttle. I would pass out during that. Are you kidding me? You're sitting like, don't they sit sideways? Or
something. And then all that vibration.
Yeah. I'm and the like, pressure. I get nervous in a plane taken off.
Yeah, same.
And that's like
same,
horizontal. Same. You're going vertical. Yeah. It's like, it's just.
So you wouldn't even make it into space.
No, I mean, they'd have to make a decision. Like, do they just like toss out the dead weight, or do they like keep me around?
But it was funny because it was like this grandma and this guy, and the grandma was like, nope, I would end it right away. So she's like, there's no point in like prolonging the issue. I think as such a scaredy, I probably would stick it out. I don't know. I think it'd be like pretty hard for me. But the guy was like, man, that really says something about you, me and you, grandma. The fact that we would end it right away. I don't know. That was kind of funny, but also terrifying.
Yeah. When you mentioned that maybe they just didn't have time or have depression and they could, you know, just having the struggle of the action of brushing and flossing and eating right. I had a patient, and this is what launched me to go into dental hygiene. He was 10 and we saw him regularly, right? But then, I don't know, for some reason, this one time I talked to him and he was like, oh, so that's how I'm supposed to brush and floss. But I know we've told him every single time. So even if they've been going to the dentist for years, things just don't resonate the same all the time. So it could be that one moment that makes that impact. And then to shame them for it, then you're just working backwards, you know, and dental fear and anxiety is real. People do avoid going to the dentist, like Amy said, because of the shame, because they think they're going to be made fun of, because they think something is going to be said about them. Even just being like, oh, I know my doctor is going to ask me to floss, you know, like ask me why I haven't been flossing. Just that simple thought can deter them for another 6 months. So it's not just, oh, going to the dentist that they're seeing this, but now they're seeing it on social media and, you know, with the algorithm and everything, as soon as they see one, they're going to see all of them. Yeah. It's not helping us or the patient.
And I will say, like, the hygienists who are online preaching about how don't say dental cleaning will sometimes be the ones also then shaming their patients, like about their oral health care. So when did we lose sight of the fact that we are in a service? I feel like we are in a service industry. We're here to provide care to people, right? Health care. That's what we're here to do. And yet we're so focused on us over our patients. I still think our patients need to be our priority to an extent, right? Like, I think that we are here to serve them. And that's a controversial opinion. I say dental cleanings because my patients are primarily Spanish-speaking patients. And if I were to say like a scaling and replane, un alisado y raspado radicular, even if I said slowly, un raspado y alisado radicular, my patients would not understand. If I were to say limpieza profunda, a deep cleaning, 100%, they get it. But for the sake of me and my profession, I'm going to stop using layman's terms. I thought we learned that we had to use layman's terms in hygiene school to like communicate with our patients so they can understand, because isn't the goal to get them to understand so that they can improve their oral health, so they can increase case acceptance? Is that not the goal?
I think you're right. And it also depends on the patient population.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I provide patient population. So yeah, these blanket statements, unfair. I just think, could we not lose sight of what our patients need?
I don't think it's what you call it. It's how you explain it.
Oh,
the procedure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say a deep cleaning, leave it at that. You need to explain what's to be done. Because I did have a patient since that he saw me after the initial exam and he thought he was getting like a really good whitening treatment. Like he thought it was like a deep condition, like your rug, like it was going to be this like his teeth were going to be brand new again. So I actually had to explain to him what it really meant. And he was caught off guard. But I don't think in that situation, it doesn't matter if it was called a scaling or root planing or called a deep planing. What matters is what goes beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, and I always say that in my lectures too, is that no matter like what term you choose to use, because I can't control what you do, you need to explain to the patient what you're doing. Because for patients, especially like my population patients, they may have had a cleaning before, but maybe have never been probed. Maybe they only used ultrasonics. Maybe they only did the facials. Like, you need to explain to them like what these things are and all the steps of the procedure so that they understand them. I still think though, they could, if you're using like scaling and root planing in Spanish is such complex, those words aren't even words that they would know how to decipher. It would just be like, it's super scientific versus you saying something simple like a deep cleaning and still explaining it, but they can understand, have initial understanding of the concept versus saying something like scaling and root planing. They're like, wait, I don't even know what root planing or what do you mean by that? There is no even an initial understanding of what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too when we were talking about having like complaining about a patient or complaining about this and shaming online. I had it happen, not to me, but I saw it in a different profession. And it was like even more eye-opening because I'm around dental all day, every day. But then I was at my hairstylist. Yeah, it was really interesting. She was telling me this story and this a young girl, she was a college girl, had gotten hair extensions, the ones that were hand-tied. And it's expensive for maintenance. And she went away to school, so she wasn't able to come back to get them moved up. And she didn't have the money because she was in college. So by the time she came back to the salon, you're supposed to get them moved up about every 6 to 8 weeks, I believe. By the time she came back, it had been 8 months. I guess her hair had gotten so tangled, so knotted. It was just a real mess. And so she had gone in, and the owner of the salon was actually the one doing her hair and was getting completely frustrated because everything was tied in a knot. She throws down the tools, goes down to the basement, had taken a picture of the young girl's hair, goes down to like, not the basement, but the back room, and posts on her business Facebook page saying, going forward, starting now, anyone who comes in who has not been getting their maintenance appointments for their extensions will be charged a surcharge for having to put up with this. This is disrespectful to your hair and this should not be allowed. And just completely, while she was waiting in the chair, she was on Facebook and saw the post of herself.
Oh my gosh.
While she was sitting in the salon, and she had come with her mom and she left crying.
Wow.
Because, yeah.
I understand if there's going to be a surcharge, but she could have just left it as that, you know, and not posted the picture, but just like, if you're not going to maintain, you know, like we'll have to attack an extra charge.
But not even in that moment. Yeah. I had a patient this last week who with a drug problem. And I wanted to story about it to talk about, you know, how do you have those conversations with your patients? And I don't think that my patient even knows like my name or like would be able to find me online. But I waited a full week before I posted a story about it because I would never want him to think or any of my patients to think that I'm specifically talking about them, you know? And it wasn't even like, oh, this patient, it was like a bad situation. It was just like, I could tell that he likely had a history of drug use. I was trying to figure out how to have that conversation without insulting him. Like, how do I get my patient to like open up? And that was kind of what I was trying to like lean into was like, how do we have these conversations? Not a judgmental thing, right? Like it still wasn't going to be a negative thing, but even still, I was like, I need to wait a while before I post about this.
Well, that's like the thing. If we start losing this professionalism online, do you think patients are going to open up to us about substance abuse?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to open up about eating disorders? Do you think they're going to trust us?
And you want them to respect you by not saying dental cleaning. But we don't respect them. You know what I mean? Like, we don't respect them either. Like, we're not respecting them online, but we want to require them to respect us. It's both ways. And back to the dentist hygienist thing. It is both ways. If we are disrespecting dentists online, and they're also disrespecting us online, like, how are these things good for us?
And I think even in, like, clothes...
Focus on the positive, aka positivity hygiene.
And even like in closed Facebook groups where, you know, it's other dental professionals, I still don't think it's right to like mention these things because then it's going to make maybe new grads or new hygienists or think it's okay to talk about this when it's not. It's not part of who we are and what we should be doing as healthcare professionals.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, guys. We didn't mean to like go on a rant with y'all, but also I think good rants, good conversations. Go out and put some positivity in the world today. Thank you for listening to Positivity Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positivity Hygiene on Apple and Spotify podcast.